Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third quarter 2017 earnings release call. Today's conference call contains forward-looking information about Yellow Pages' outlook, objectives, and strategy. These statements are based on assumptions and are subject to important risks and uncertainties. Yellow Pages' actual results could differ materially from expectations discussed. The details of Yellow Pages' caution regarding forward-looking information, including key assumptions and risks, can be found in Yellow Pages' management discussion and analysis for the third quarter of 2017. This call is being recorded and webcast, and all of the disclosure documents are available on the company's website and on SEDAR. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. David Eckert, President and CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Delighted to have you be here today, and we're delighted to be with you for the call. As this is my first call as Chief Executive of YP, having been here for 2 weeks of the quarter we're talking about, and then a few weeks since then, I'd like to spend just a few minutes up front talking about our priorities going forward before I turn it over to Ken Taylor, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the financial performance of the quarter in more detail. And then after that, we'll be very happy to take your questions. As you may know, my background is spending over a quarter century specializing as CEO of companies that can do better. And most recently, I spent time as CEO of a company in our space, in the legacy Yellow Pages space globally, with operating in 8 different countries. We were pleased to be able to produce good returns for our investors, and although every situation is very different, of course, we'd very much like to see similar outcomes here. I want to let everyone know that I am particularly interested in the measure of EBITDA minus capital expenditures, EBITDA minus CapEx. We will be keeping a close eye on that measure as we go forward. We are still very early on here in assessing everything, but rest assured of two things. One, we are assessing everything, and second, we don't like to waste time, and we don't plan to waste time. You will find me as we go forward in future discussions and quarters preferring to talk about results of the things we've done rather than plans or predictions or hopes or strategies. It's a little trickier to do that after having been here for just a few weeks. We'll see what we can do. The one thing I would like to do is thank anyone who is listening to this who participated in our recent refinancing. We got good reception on that. We're very pleased to have been able to settle that. So we will have more to say next quarter. But for today, I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted to have you here. And I will pass the microphone over to Ken Taylor, our CFO, to talk about the third quarter's financial performance. Ken?
Thanks, David. I'll now take you through our financial results for the third quarter and first 9 months of fiscal 2017. My review of financial results will include references to certain operating segments. The segments align to how we manage and evaluate performance of our business. Our four operating segments are YP, which covers digital and traditional marketing solutions, including our owned and operated media, Agency, which covers national advertising solutions via our Mediative, Juice, and Totem divisions, Real Estate, which includes Comfrey, DeProprio, and Yellow Pages Next Home, and Other, which includes 411.ca, as well as our local lifestyle magazine specific to the Western Canadian market. Total revenue for the third quarter of 2017 was $181.4 million, approximately 10% lower than Q3 2016. The decline was mainly due to lower print revenue, which declined 24% in the YP segment and 22% overall, which is in line with the trajectories we anticipated. Digital revenues declined by 4% or $5.8 million in Q3 2017 as compared to Q3 2016, due mainly to a $4 million decline in the YP segment and a $1.3 million decline in the agency segment. The number of digital-only customers in the YP segment climbed to 84,400 in the 12-month period ended September 30, 2017, representing 17% growth over the same period last year, Despite this growth, digital revenues have declined in the YP segment due to a lower average spending by our customers year over year, including a decline in the base of customers taking both print and digital solutions, and many new customers opting for lower price services. Due to weaker than expected results in the first 9 months, the company no longer anticipates digital revenue growth in fiscal 2017 as compared to fiscal 2016. Third quarter 2017 adjusted EBITDA was $46.2 million, or 25% of revenues, down from $56.9 million, or 28% of revenues for the same period last year, due mainly to lower gross profit associated with lower overall revenue and the shift in product mix in the YP segment. Gross profit as a percentage of revenues for Q3 2017 was 52.3%, as compared to 56.1% for the same period last year, driven mainly by the YP segment, which declined to 57% from 61%. The impact of this decline was partially offset by cost containment and other operating costs in the YP segment, which were reduced by $7.2 million in Q3 2017 as compared to Q3 2016. The company recorded a net loss in the third quarter of 2017 of $4.4 million, or 17 cents per diluted share, as compared to net earnings of $3.8 million in the same quarter last year. The decline in net earnings is primarily due to the decline in adjusted EBITDA, in addition to the impact of impairments and losses associated with certain investments, which totaled $4.8 million. The impacts of these items were partially offset by a $2.5 million reduction in financial charges, due largely to lower average debt levels. Net debt as of September 30, 2017, was $354 million, as compared to $385 million at December 31, 2016, and $391 million a year ago at September 30, 2016. The company generated free cash flow of $17.9 million in the third quarter of 2017, as compared to $28.9 million in Q3 2016, and has generated $49.1 million of free cash flow in the first 9 months of 2017, as compared to $76.3 million in the first 9 months of 2016. The decline in 2017 year-to-date free cash flow as compared to 2016 is primarily related to the decline in adjusted EBITDA, partially offset by reduction in financing charges. The company continues to expect it will achieve the 2017 guidance originally communicated on May 10th for adjusted EBITDA and free cash flow, despite the impact of lower than expected year-to-date digital revenues and gross profit and erosion in the agency pipeline for Q4. We are lowering our revenue expectations, however, for fiscal 2017 to a range of $750 million to $760 million, with the earnings impact of the decline expected to be offset by lower operating costs and capital expenditures. Customer count for fiscal 2017 is expected to come in at approximately 230,000, consistent with our guidance update on August 10th. Customer count for the 12 months ended September 30th, 2017 declined by approximately 9,500 customers when compared to the same period last year. Total digital visits continue to be a good news story, with visits once again up more than 50% year over year. Lastly, we are pleased to have successfully refinanced both our senior secured notes and our asset-based loan that were each to mature in 2018 with new instruments that don't mature until 2022. The new instruments take the form of $315 million 10% senior secured notes that provide strong deleveraging flexibility for the company, and the asset-based loan was amended and restated with slightly better terms. The company now has no significant debt maturities prior to 2022. This concludes our formal remarks. Thank you for taking the time to join us this morning. Operator, please open the line for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Aravinda Galapathy of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to start off with the cost base. I mean, both OPEX and CAPEX, and maybe for David to start with. When you look at sort of the initial look at the cost base here and looking at the various functions, what is your sense in terms of sort of the cost reduction opportunity at YP? I wanted to sort of get your thoughts on that, and then I have a quick follow-up as well. Thanks.
Well, we don't have anything at all to announce today, but it is clear that on a consolidated basis, looking over the simply taking the publicly available information, that over the last several years, while there have been well-noted changes in revenue, the level of spending, defined the way you just said it, which is operating spending, operating expenses plus capital expenditures, has been relatively stable. So obviously that's something that is a part of what we're taking a look at, and you know, whether it's a big company, a medium-sized company, a small company, or a household, one would probably prefer to have one's spending be parallel to one's income or revenue. So, but we have no specifics to go into today. But I note with real interest your comment, shall we say.
Awesome, thank you. And then with respect to the digital revenues and the outlook, I mean, the positive, I think, in the quarter is the continued growth in the audience size. I suspect partly due to the sort of the Apple Maps arrangement, but you know, very sharp growth year over year, and even sequential growth in Q3 over Q2. How do you look at sort of monetizing that? I mean, digital continues to be under pressure. Is there anything that you can kind of give us a sense of with respect to sort of, you know, leveraging that increasing audience size, which is certainly positive, as I mentioned.
Well, yes, digital, of course, is under pressure. It's a competitive arena. And we are going to be doing a very clear and deep product review of our product lines and see what we can do across the board, not just ones that are relying on traffic. There are some things certainly that we can try to do to further harness the benefit of that traffic. Ken, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, no, I think, look, that is a tremendous opportunity and certainly supports some of our higher-end solutions and the attractiveness of those. And I think, you know, it's just critical in terms of the way that we're going to market that we're emphasizing those higher-end products. And, you know, we haven't always done the best job of doing that. And, you know, I think that can really support getting the mix, moving it up the food chain, if you want to call it that.
Okay, and just a quick follow-up, and I'll pass the line. With respect to the audience size, I mean, are we sort of at a 50-50 mark in terms of sort of mobile and desktop at this stage? I'm not sure if you disclosed that, but I was curious as to where things stood on that account. Thanks.
No, that isn't a metric we disclose.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Bahan Ajman of Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just got a quick question regarding the outlook for digital for 2018. I'm not sure if you provide any color on that, but is it too early to ascertain whether the, you know, digital side of the business can get into growth, return to growth in 2018, I guess on an organic basis, apples to apples?
Yeah, no, we're not in a position right now to give, you know, a forward look for 18. You know, what I will say is, are there opportunities out there? Yes. I mean, we've got a tremendous customer base, but, you know, that customer base, you know, in terms of SMEs in Canada is probably, you know, represents something close to, you know, 20% of that base. You know, as I mentioned earlier, opportunities to be you know, selling some of our higher-end products. So certainly, you know, the potential is there. We've got to execute on it. But at this stage, you know, we're not prepared to guide on anything for 18.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The following question is from Bentley Cross of TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
David, first one for you. I mean, what you've been able to do at Hybu is pretty much nothing short of spectacular. But obviously you're inheriting a very different starting point here. Just wondering, I know you're very short into the process now, but what you think are kind of the different mixes here and how you see the business here relative to at your last venture?
Well, look, I mean, I think most of the differences are obvious. We're in one country here, not in six or eight, depending on how you count it. But, you know, all of the countries face the same, as well as a country. I sit on the board of another legacy Yellow Pages company in yet another country. And, you know, all the countries face the same headwinds and fundamentally have the same strategic choices to choose or alternatives to choose from. Some of those strategies have been shown to work better than others. But every country is different and every situation is different. And one of the differences for each player is how strong the player is within their country in certain product lines. And so the product lines, I mean, it's always important to focus what you're doing, focus your investment dollars, focus your capital expenditures, focus where you have people working on various things for the future. And that's common. That, when I say that's common, that's not every player does that, and when you don't do that, that's the problem. But if you do that, that's sensible. But where you should focus is different by country, and the biggest difference is depending on where, you know, where the player is strong. We're not to the point yet where we have sorted where we want to focus our resources, but we will be focusing resources on because it's very easy to be working on lots of different things, lots of different IT projects. I've seen billions of dollars and pounds and euros spent on various things called technology and digital. And the majority of them, and I'm talking just generally in the industry now, I'm not talking about any one player, but the global industry, billions, and the majority of those billions probably don't return much, if anything, to the investors. So it's early, and we don't really have anything to announce on focus and so on. But I do know that one of the benefits here in Canada is, you know, we are clearly the by far largest legacy Yellow Pages company in Canada, and we should be viewed as the channel for whatever are the relevant products, the channel to get great products delivered to SMEs throughout Canada from coast to coast. So that's not always the case in some other players in some other countries, and that competitive landscape I think can make a big difference.
Maybe as a follow-on, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
As a follow-on to that, I mean, it sounded in your comments that you're going to maybe look at things with a more critical lens on in terms of CapEx spending. Is that a fair characterization?
What I said is the thing that I'm very interested in is EBITDA minus CapEx. My philosophy is if we take some of our investors' valuable cash, the investor probably doesn't, and if we spend it, the investor probably doesn't care whether the accountants call it operating expense or whether the accountants call it capital expenditures. It's still taking your money and investing it or spending it. It's money that we don't have anymore because it's been spent. So, yes, the logical implication of that is that capital spending doesn't get a pass any more than operating spending does.
Okay, that's helpful. And just one last one for me, and I understand it's early, but early on in your comments, you said everything's on the table and you don't like to waste time. I assume that would include asset sales if that's something, a path you want to go down?
Well, there again, we have nothing to say about that. But I meant everything's on the table. I don't think I said it, but if I didn't say it, maybe I probably should have. because we will do, I've said publicly, look, we will seriously consider anything as long as it's legal and ethical. And we'll obviously consider nothing that's illegal or unethical, but as long as it's legal and ethical, everything can be on the table. Anything to make this company a great company. And so you mentioned one possible thing. Sure, well, we won't rule out that. And every single thing that we have money invested in, we need to ask ourselves, is that critical to our mission going forward of becoming a great company? And if the answer to that is, yes, it's critical, well, then it's great. If the answer to that is, no, it's not critical, then the question is this asset worth some money? And if the answer to that is yes, then the question is that money better in our hands or back in the hands of our various investors? So I know the questions. I don't have any answers to that yet, but maybe that sheds some light on your question.
Thanks, David. I appreciate the fresh perspective.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The following question is from Drew McReynolds of RBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. David or Ken, and maybe a little bit more of a drill down here, just when you look at EBITDA less CapEx and CapEx specifically, can you just kind of give us a sense of what's been growth versus maintenance in the past? I don't think covering the company for a long time, I've really truly understood the CapEx budget, so just want to flush that out a little bit. And then second question, David, in terms of timing, when we see, you know, some kind of progress with, you know, things that you want to get going on, do you have a sense of that? You know, is that something we could look for potentially next quarter with a new fiscal year? Thank you.
Why don't we answer the second one first and then the first one second? I don't know specific timing, but I said we don't like to waste time. And while it takes a little time to get one's arms around things and to figure things out, we don't have to have perfect knowledge in order to have a pretty good sense of what we need to do and get going doing it. So, whatever action might be taken, you know, takes a while to show up on financial statements. So there's that inescapable lag. But you guys understand how all that works. So, you know, we'll certainly, you know, we'll be sitting here in 90 days and, you know, we ought to have some more concrete things to talk about anyway, I would think. And then on the other question, Ken?
And for as far as, you know, the split on CapEx, I mean, we've spoken to the increment this year that relates to real estate. You know, but then if you get down to a base level, so, you know, that's, you know, 12 to 15 million associated with our moves. But when you get down into base level, and I think, you know, just to follow on to some of David's comments, you know, everything's got to be looked at. I think you can make the mistake of saying, well, you know, base level is X million dollars and you're not looking at that. And certainly, you know, the approach that's going on here is we're looking at every dollar of spend, whether it's OPEX or CAPEX. And challenging all of that. So, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, at this stage, you know, not to prepared to give that split. I think to follow on in David's comments, every single dollar of CapEx, you know, has to, and OpEx, but it has to meet that criteria of, you know, is it critical to our success as a business? Is it critical in terms of generating shareholder returns? And when it's not, you know, we stop doing it. You know, more to come on that in the future, but, you know, as it sits right now, that's just our view of the world.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. This concludes today's conference call. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.